Good morning to each one. I want to greet you all in Christ's name. It's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord for worship. It's also a privilege to be here with you. I would have been blessed to hear someone else share from the Word this morning, but we want to open the Scriptures and see what God has for us, gain some inspiration, some encouragement. Also want to invite you to worship with us. If you ever come close to Eastern North Carolina, you're welcome to come and see us there and worship with us. Glad to have you. For starting scripture, you can open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 79. I'd like to think a little bit about sheep this morning. I've always enjoyed sheep. My grandpa had sheep, my parents had sheep, and now I have some sheep. It's an animal that I enjoy observing, enjoy having around. And I think there's some lessons that we can learn from sheep. I'd just like to pull a verse from Psalm 79 here, verse 13. He says, "So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations." We, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture. Title of the message is "The Sheep of God's Pasture." Turning over to Psalm 95, another verse. Psalm 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, and verse 8 goes on, harden not your hearts. Why does the scripture compare us as God's people to sheep? Sheep are mentioned more than 200 times in the Bible, more than any other animal. You know, of all animals, why did God choose a sheep? It would seem like maybe an eagle or a bear or a lion or something like that would be a little bit more noble of an animal to be compared to. And sheep often are thought of a little bit dumb, maybe. But yet, God calls us the sheep of his pasture. Hopefully, as we go along, we will understand a little better why the Bible refers to us as sheep. And we know that God created sheep to act the way they do. They simply behave according to the instinct that is within them. But we as people, we have choices to make. We can change the way we live. And yet, we act quite a bit like sheep sometimes. Our human nature wants to rise up within us, and sometimes we appear like an animal that can't do any more than simply follow its natural instincts. Now, the tending of sheep is somewhat maybe a thing of the past, at least in this country. There are certain areas in the world today yet that the sheep are still very valuable. They are used for grazing purposes, and in other countries, they're a valuable source of food and wool. In Bible times, sheep were a primary source of income for many of the Middle Eastern cultures. They were also important sources of wool and milk and meat. But sheep herding was maybe considered a little bit more of a lowly job. Rich people would hire somebody to watch their sheep. Often in a family, it was the youngest person's job. It was their responsibility to watch the sheep. We can think back to David when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons as the new king. Where was David? He was the youngest. He was out watching the sheep. It's interesting to think about that, David being prepared to be a king by tending sheep. Sheep and people are a lot alike, and I believe David probably learned many lessons while he tended those sheep that he probably benefited from later on in life as a king. Also, I think about Moses. I believe there's a reason why God allowed Moses to tend sheep in the wilderness for 40 years before he led Israel out of Egypt. Moses was called the meekest man that ever lived, and I'm sure some of that meekness probably came from dealing with sheep. It takes some patience sometimes, and love and endurance to be a shepherd. But a good leader must be a shepherd, one that humbly serves those that are put under his care. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. Turning back to John chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 11. We'll touch on some of these verses a bit later, possibly, but looking at verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Isn't that such a clear picture of what Christ has done for us, in giving his life? He came to this earth in the humblest way possible. Jesus came as a little baby. He grew up, and he came to, he was here to serve others. He didn't accumulate much on this earth. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. But ultimately, he gave his life for his sheep. And no better shepherd can be found than one that gives his life, that lays down his life for his sheep. Isaiah calls our Lord the Lamb of God. He was the perfect one. He was the only one that was perfect enough to be made the sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. John the Baptist said these words when he saw Jesus coming towards him in John 1, verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I'd like to read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 53. Somewhat familiar verses to us. But again, it helps us to think about why we as God's people are compared to sheep. Isaiah chapter 53, let's read verses 1 through 7 here. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Verse 5 brings out one of the reasons that we as people are compared to sheep. Actually, the beginning of verse 6 there. "All we like sheep have gone astray." We all have sinned. We all have come short. We've all strayed. We want to pick up on that just a bit later also. Jesus was mistreated and disrespected unlike anything that any one of us will ever face. And yet, he was like a lamb before it was killed. You know, a lamb doesn't fight back. It doesn't protest. And so was our Lord. He didn't retaliate. He didn't even speak up in his own defense, even when he would have had a right to. It says he opened not his mouth. Was he doing this for himself? Was this something that was going to make him more like God? Well, no, we know that Christ was God. But he didn't endure this persecution, this suffering, this death for himself. But it was for you and for I. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter for the salvation of each one of us here this morning. And not just for us, but for the whole world. Every time I read these verses here in Isaiah chapter 53, it's such a sad picture, and yet it's a great blessing, a very blessed thought, to realize that Christ went through all of this for me. When I was a little boy, pretty young, probably around 5 years old, my grandpa had a lot of sheep. He was starting to get out of it by that time, but he kept them for their wool, and there was ethnic people that liked to come and get sheep. They would get the lambs for their different feasts at certain times of the year. And as I read over these verses here in Isaiah 53 and different verses there in the Old Testament, how they were supposed to pick out the best lamb in the flock, and they were to offer it as a sacrifice for their sins. You know, my thoughts go back to those lambs that I think some of those people were Greek maybe. They wanted a lamb for their feast, and they wanted them killed there. And it made a huge impression on my young mind. My grandpa wanted me to help. he would tell me to hold on to the back legs, and they would slit the throat of the lamb, let the blood run out. And it was just about more than I could handle as a young boy, seeing this perfect lamb, just the life just drain out of it, slowly dying. It seemed really senseless to my young mind. But you know, as I got older, it really helped me to understand that there are consequences for sin. And I think that was maybe one of the things that God was trying to impress upon the minds of the people in the Old Testament. Sin brings consequences. A sacrifice had to be made, the shedding of innocent blood. But we know that the blood of lambs could never take away sin. It would only cover for a time. But then Christ became that perfect lamb whose innocent blood was shed once and for all. The question for us this morning is, how are we responding to all that was done for us? Very challenging thought. You know, Christ makes the best shepherd possible because Christ lived the life of a sheep. He came to this earth. He lived as one of us. He faced the challenges that we face. He knows the life of a sheep. Is it any wonder that sheep fill an important role in the scriptures and analogies that are brought out in the scriptures? Well, we'd like to look at some of the lessons that we can learn from the scriptural references to sheep. I'd like to just read from Psalm 23. Familiar enough verses that most of us could probably quote them from memory. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David uses the analogies of a shepherd and his relationship to the sheep. We want to pull a few thoughts from this psalm. The first one is that sheep are very helpless without a shepherd. Sheep are one of the few animals that have no defense mechanism at all. They have no way of defending themselves except maybe to run away as fast as they can. They don't bite, they don't kick or scratch. They don't work together to help protect themselves like some other animals do. David addresses this problem in verse 1. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." With the Lord as our shepherd, looking after us, protecting us, we will not want. Sheep would not last long if they didn't have a shepherd looking after them. You know, sheep don't think very far ahead. They don't think what's going to happen when they wander. Verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Do we recognize our helplessness in the face of the enemy? We are no match for the devil and his forces. But we do have a defense against the enemy, and that is found in God and his word. And we must place our trust in the capable hands of the good shepherd. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." James chapter 4 tells us to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We must do our part in availing ourselves of that protection that God has provided for us. But, you know, he alone, it is his strength alone that can defeat the enemy, defeat the devil. So let's not leave the protection of the shepherd. Another one is that sheep are not made to carry burdens. You don't see people using sheep as pack animals, loading them down, putting lots of weight on them. You know, sheep can't handle very much more than their own weight. Their legs are not very strong. Sometimes when we were young, my brothers and I would like to jump on the back of the sheep and see if we can get a ride. But it never worked very well. They couldn't carry the weight. They just wanted to lay down. Sheep are not made to be ridden on. You know, God didn't intend for his people to live in a state of turmoil and restlessness. God wants us to bring our burdens to him and leave them there. we're not much good to God and His kingdom when we're carrying a huge burden around. We're staggering under the weight of it, and we can hardly get our own selves around, much less help others. These huge loads were never made for us to carry, and they affect our mental, our spiritual, emotional health. There in Matthew, he tells us that his burden is light. We need to bring it to him, leave it with him. You know, the yoke of the world is very heavy. And sometimes even, you know, in our own minds, we get our focus off of the right thing. And that yoke that he talks about there in Matthew, when we're trying to carry our own load on our own strength, that weight might get a little bit unbalanced. And you know, if you're carrying, say, two buckets on a yoke across your shoulders, if they're balanced, you can carry it very well. If one is heavier than the other, it makes it very hard to carry. And so sometimes when we try to carry our own burdens around, they get lopsided. We start to focus on the wrong things, and then it becomes very, very hard for us to bear. But let's also be willing to share our brother's load when he needs help. But let's not carry burdens around that God did not intend for us to carry. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Another one is that sheep have never been able to survive on their own. You don't hear of wild sheep. You don't hear of sheep out there in the woods like deer. Ever since the days of Cain and Abel, sheep have needed shepherds to look after them, care for them. And probably, if sheep wouldn't have been carefully shepherded down through the ages, sheep would be extinct by now. But there's a couple different aspects to this thought, and one of them is brought out here in verse 2. It says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And if you have any experience with sheep at all, you know that if you see a flock of sheep laying down in the pasture, you know that there's a number of requirements that have been met. One of the things is that their stomachs are probably full. A hungry sheep will never lay down. And David understood that connection there between sheep laying down and green pastures, having enough to eat, being provided for. You know, there's not much, when there's not much grass to eat, the sheep are always going to be on the move. And there is times when the sheep need to lay down. They need to chew their cud. They need to be able to get that nutrition out of what they eat. And so that is necessary. Green pastures and rest is necessary. But just recently, in thinking about this term green pastures, probably we who live in areas like this, where we think of a green pasture as tall, lush grass, thick. And it's a pretty picture of sheep out there eating. But these green pastures that David talked about were probably not at all what we think of as green pastures. These were more or less rocky hillsides that the sheep were walking across, trying to find something to eat. And as I understand it, it's very dry there, but there is a moist wind that comes up off the Mediterranean Sea, and it blows across those hills. And there's lots of rocks, and they catch that moisture-laden air, and a little bit of moisture runs down around those rocks. And there's green shoots of grass that grow up all around those rocks. And the sheep are moving across the hillside every morning, and they find those little shoots of grass, and it satisfies them. It's green pastures. It fills them. And there's a sense in which we, in our Christian lives, need to continue to progress. We can't just sit still and sit at one place and expect to be filled and to get all that we need. We need to continue on. And that is a little bit different picture than what I have had as I read over this verse here in verse 2 of Psalm 23. But I see a lesson in that for myself. You know, when I fill myself with the good things that the Lord has provided for his people, I find fulfillment. I find satisfaction. But when I fill myself with things that are only pleasing to my own carnal, selfish, sinful nature, it's not satisfying. We want more. We're looking for something else, the next big thing. And we see that all around us in our world today. You know, is it any wonder that the entertainment world generates billions of dollars in revenue? But it's like if we were to eat only cotton candy. It might look like a huge amount, but really there's nothing there. It's just a lot of fluff and air, and it's all sugar, and it's eventually going to kill us. What are we feeding on? If we're not getting enough nourishment for our spiritual lives, it's not because God has not provided the green pastures for us. We need time to think about God's word, to meditate on it, and so that we can receive the nourishment, the benefit that is there for us. Well, God promised the children of Israel that he was going to lead them to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And I never really thought about it before, but a land flowing with milk and honey had to be full of green pastures. There had to be something there for the bees to make honey off of. So there's something that was blossoming there. The livestock would feed on the forage, and the bees would make honey from the blossoms. And that's where we get this corresponding flow of milk and honey. You know, as you think about that picture, think about Israel coming out of Egypt, coming out of the desert, coming into a land that's flowing with this milk and honey. Isn't that a picture of us moving from sin, the desert of sin and serving self, and into the abundant life that God has provided for us? God promises a life of plenty to us. And Christ, the Good Shepherd, he's there. He's making sure that that we can experience this abundant life. He's interceding on our behalf. It's a beautiful picture. Another one is a fearful sheep will not lay down. You know, if there's a flock of sheep resting and all of a sudden, even if it's just one of them, spots something that alarms them instantly, they're all on their feet. And the world around us today does not lend itself to creating a peaceful feeling within us. We heard a little bit about that in the devotions this morning. There's potential there for us to become unsettled, to become fearful. But what is the peace of mind that, what does our peace of mind depend on? Life is really quite uncertain when we think about it. And we can be perfectly healthy one week, and the next week we might be deathly sick. Life is really full of hazards. There's many unknowns, many uncertainties that are part of life. And sometimes our first impulse is to be like those sheep and just jump and run and as fast and as far away as we can. But will we let these things destroy our ability to lay down in green pastures like it talks about here? Remember that God has not given us the spirit of fear. He does not want us to be on our feet constantly moving around, to avoid thinking about things that that might cause us to stampede in fear. Those shepherds that received the angel's message about the birth of Christ, they were out on the hills watching their flocks by night. They were there with the sheep. They didn't leave them alone at night. They knew the condition of the sheep. They knew they needed a shepherd to protect them. And I find that that thought really comforting to me. As a good shepherd, Christ is always there with us. And as we have that awareness in our lives of the presence of God with us, it really makes a difference. I'm always encouraged greatly by the words that God spoke to Joshua when with the responsibility of leading the people was placed upon Joshua. He said, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." It is the work of God's Spirit within us to convey this sense of God's presence to us. And just when we need it most, the Holy Spirit reminds us that God knows exactly what you are facing. He knows exactly how you are feeling in this situation, and he's going to do what is best for you. Well, sheep need their shepherd to find good places for them to drink. Talks about leading the sheep beside the still waters. And it relates closely to the green pastures that we just talked about. In Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Thirsting after righteousness, is that our experience? You know, if a sheep doesn't have a good source for water, they're going to drink wherever they can find water. It might be a muddy, parasite-infested hole that they find some water in. I actually rarely see my sheep drinking out of the water trough that is there for them. Now, the cows, they drink a lot of water, but the sheep very rarely drink from the water trough. And they can go a long time without drinking. If there's heavy dew in the morning, they're out there grazing, and they're getting that moisture along with what they're eating. maybe there's a lesson in that for us. Those quiet times with God early in the morning, they can carry us through a hot and stressful day. The words of a song come to mind. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Are we finding our thirst quenched by God's Spirit speaking to us as we look into God's Word, as we read, as we meditate, as we commune with Him? Sadly, that's not the case for many around us today. There's a desire to find fulfillment by pursuing knowledge, academic careers. Maybe they turn to music or art to fill the need within their souls. They travel, participate in sports. They involve themselves in all manner of social activities. Might take up a hobby, engage in community programs. And while some of these things are good, it is not where we find our fulfillment. And they all end up hot and panting and dissatisfied. But those that choose to drink at the wells of the world, they're going to find their soul's thirst unquenched. Jeremiah put it so well there in Jeremiah 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know, what a sad picture that it is when somebody turns their back on Christ and the nourishment that they can receive from Christ. It causes them to go and try to find their own nourishment, their own fulfillment. Broken cisterns that can hold no water, they're never going to find true fulfillment, satisfaction there. It can never produce water. Jesus told the woman at the well, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life. So let's make sure that we are quenching our thirst with the water that springs up unto eternal life. Another reason why sheep need a shepherd and they cannot survive on their own is because sheep have very little sense of direction. They get lost very easily. They graze from one spot to another. They can travel pretty far, and they don't remember how to get back. Nowadays, there's fences that can keep sheep corralled, and this might not be as big a problem as it was at one time. But we sing that song about the 99 sheep that were saved, but one was lost. He wandered away and didn't know how to come back. You know, where would I be without God and without the church to help me find my way, my direction? The scriptures point out very clearly that we need this direction in our lives. Keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Clearly refutes the idea that once you are saved, you are always saved. No, there is a danger of falling away and becoming lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. The good shepherd searched for the lost sheep until it was found. You know, Peter cautions us to be alert and aware because our adversary, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, a lion doesn't usually attack the whole flock of sheep, but he waits till one sheep wanders off by himself. And that's when he attacks. That's when he pounces. May we not be foolish enough to spurn the advice, the counsel of others, in favor of taking our own way. Because by ourselves, we become prey for the enemy. Another lesson we can learn from sheep is to follow the leader. Now, this can be a bad thing and a good thing. You know, it's said that if you have a group of sheep in a barn and you take a rope or maybe even a hot wire and you stretch it across the opening of the entrance to the barn, and the sheep really want to go out, and say the first two sheep jump over that rope, you can take that rope down and all the rest of the sheep going out of that barn will jump the same as the first two sheep. I've seen it happen many times. And the rope's not even there. They follow the leader. And also, when one sheep starts to run, they all start running. They don't even know what they're running away from sometimes. They just know they need to run. And I call that a herd mentality. What one does, they all do, whether it's good or bad. And young people, you know what this herd mentality is all about. Maybe we could use a different term for it. We could call it peer pressure. Peer pressure can be positive, but it can also be negative too. Are we able to analyze the pressures that come our way to see if it's going to have a positive impact on our life, or are we just going to blindly follow and whoever happens to be in front of us, whether it's positive or negative. Think about those people that were at the trial of Jesus, yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." It was only a few days prior to that that they were eagerly following him because of the miracles that he was doing. But because the chief priest stirred up the people, they turned from following him to wanting him to be killed. The blind leading the blind. Let's never become caught up in this negative kind of herd mentality. But this herd mentality can be a positive thing also. We can help others to go in the right direction. We can follow someone that is taking the right path. We have a leader that we must follow. Hebrews 12, verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Christ was our example, and we must follow him. Turn to John chapter 10 yet. I'd like to read a few verses here. Thinking about following the leader, following our leader. John 10, I'll just read verses 1 through 5. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." There's much that we could draw from these verses about following the leader and knowing his voice. It says the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. My grandpa tells a story about a hired man that was trying to call the sheep into the barn. You know, they would put the feed out, and then they'd call, and the sheep would all come in and they'd eat. And so the hired man, he proceeds to call, and he calls and calls and calls these sheep, and not the first sheep pokes his head inside the barn. And Grandpa watched this, and he thought that was interesting. And so he goes out and he gives a special call, and the sheep just start pouring into the barn. And his hired man asks him, "Why didn't the sheep come when I call? They knew what I was doing. I mean, they knew that I was putting out feed, and yet they didn't come when I called." Grandpa says, "Don't you know your Bible? The voice of a stranger will they not follow?" There's a life lesson in that for us, I believe. Do we know the voice of the Good Shepherd? Are we listening when he calls? Are we following him wherever he wants to take us, even if it is where we don't want to go? Do we have a close, intimate relationship with the Good Shepherd that keeps us close to him? Oh, may God help us to be sheep that follow the